Hello and welcome to Your Public Health on Big Cabbage Radio 89.7. I'm Dr. Deb Gaidash, a public health nurse at Mat-Su Public Health Center. Today we will launch our new program, Your Public Health, as a recurring health discussion for our communities, which I will moderate. Today's segment we will discuss what is public health and where the heck are you located? My guests today are fellow public health nurses at Mat-Su Public Health Center on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway in Wasilla, Pat Hogan and J.D. Pross. Thanks for joining me.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
A little background on public health history that many might not know is that in 1959, when local newspapers claimed we're in Alaska became the 49th state, the state recognized that its most important resources were its people. In dealing with that, public health became part of our Constitution, and public health nursing came under the umbrella of public health. While the role of public health nursing has evolved to fit the needs of the communities in our states, many of the services that early public health nurses provided exist today. As I turn to my colleagues here in the radio station, they each can speak to the diversity of our health center in Wasilla. Pat, you've been a nurse for 48 years, and you hold, in addition to your nursing degree, a master's degree in public health. You also work as a generalist at the Public Health Center in Wasilla. Can you share with us your area of expertise prior to becoming a public health nurse over 10 years ago and some of the services that public health provide at our health center?
Hi, it's Pat. I've been a nurse, as Deb says, for 48 years. I started out as an emergency room nurse, worked as a pediatric nurse, an ICU nurse, a gerontology or old folks nurse, and I've spent the last 12 years here at Mat-Su Public Health. In a typical day, where I participate as a calls nurse, which I am today, I get a lot of phone calls, and my job is to help answer them or find someone else who can answer them. In a typical day, I may hear, my son has a rash. What do I do? And I have to find out, what does a rash look like? Or someone asks me, what do I do about bed bugs? And guess what? We have bed bugs in Alaska. It's not cold enough to kill the little guys. So that's the kind of stuff I do on a typical day. If I'm not giving immunizations or listening to somebody tell me why they're here and what I can do for them. So it's never boring, and I really have a good time. My friend JD has been here longer than I have, and she's quite an interesting person.
Yes, JD, you work at the Public Health Center, but you have a different focus, and yours is as an itinerant nurse. And you offer similar service, but you have different duties. JD also has multiple degrees. One is a social worker and one is a nurse. And she brings some of those experiences to her work at the Public Health Center. JD, can you share with our community the services you bring to the people in the Valley, and how would you do either the same or different from what Pat described?
Thanks, Deb. This is JD, and I am an itinerant public health nurse, which the very meaning of it means traveling from place to place. So it's a really fun and adventurous job. I started out in the Arctic and was there for several years, and now am from small plains onto roads. So I go to all the nooks and crannies of the state and bring the services from public health at Mat-Su to the people in the far-reaching areas, from the Upper Sioux to Whittier to the Copper Basin, and there's always something interesting and different, interesting people to meet and see along the way. We provide the same services mostly, and I just take it on the road.
And both of you bring similar services, but you bring them in different manners. And how, when you go to these different locations, JD, how long do you stay?
It depends on what I'm doing and what the people ask for, but I usually visit places on a regular basis and have a lot of stops in between.
And do you generally stay at first-class hotels when you go? What are your accommodations?
No. They're varied and interesting, mostly just generous in the communities, even with a place to work, public libraries, any kind of community areas give me a place to work and see people. And
J.D., it's Pat. Do you sleep on the floor or do you have a bed?
I have at times, but on a cot, but on the road system, there are better, nicer places to sleep. And a lot of day trips. I make a lot of just back and forth with some long days, but a lot of stops. And whatever it is people need who are standing in front of me, I just try to help them with it.
So if I was to look over the both of you, Pat, you provide services that people come to the health center for. And JD, you leave the health center and bring those services away from the public center itself.
Yes.
So we're taking care of patients on the inside and on the outside. Of those services that you evaluate, and this is to both of you, which ones are the most satisfying to you as a public health nurse and why?
Well, this is Pat. I have two main passions as a public health nurse, and I've been working with homeless people, youth, and families for the last 12 years. And I have a true passion in helping to relieve that problem. My second passion is environmental health. And that sounds like a big term, but basically, environmental health encompasses anything that you can think of, between water contamination, sewers, the bed bug problem. If you go to a restaurant and end up getting sick, then we see you afterwards or contact you on the telephone. We also try to prevent diseases like measles and chickenpox. Remember, right now we got a big old mumps outbreak. Most people are not very sick, but they're being truly inconvenienced by having sick kids at home.
How about you, JD? What is your favorite part of the services that you provide?
Well, having done this for many years, I really think that being able to see kids from a very young age, or even doing the pregnancy test for the family, and then following the kids and into from childhood into teen years, and then into adulthood. This the whole relationship of being invited into the family, and they're just wonderful people everywhere I go, welcoming, and they inspire me every day. And I really believe that prevention is very satisfying because. It's harder to measure in the short term, but you see the result of it in the long term with the health of the community.
As a public health nurse myself, I particularly enjoy the education perspective. We go out to the K-12 school districts, post-secondary institution, and bring information to students there. Many times I go to UAA and present information on vaccine-preventable diseases, what public health is, some of the work that we do in the Department of Corrections. And I don't think a lot of people realize, and I'm sure the both of you can appreciate this, that people don't realize just how far-reaching public health is. Some of the services we provide begin, as had J.D. talked about, the pregnancy testing. We're there from the very beginning when patients first find out that they are pregnant, and then give them resources, as Pat talked about, is where they can find prenatal care and how to take care of themselves and what's ahead. And we give them lots of information out. Childhood immunizations is also a very large part, and that's a focus of mine as the vaccine coordinators to see how we can best educate the public on that. And that's not always an easy thing. We do newborn screenings. Certainly, we do screenings for sexually transmitted infections and reproductive health services. And later on in a broadcast at another time, we'll bring our advanced nurse practitioner to talk about some of those services. And then we have tuberculosis screening and management as well as that. And another focus I think that people aren't aware of is our partnership with different community coalitions and also with the epidemiology investigations. And Pat talked about the mumps. As calls nurse, Pat, when you do the investigations on mumps, what does that entail and how much time does that take?
Well, the first thing I do is get a referral from the Department of Epidemiology, and they get the referral from the private provider. A doctor says, I had a case of mumps, this is who it is, and this is where they live. And then I contact the doc, and I also contact the parent usually, and ask specific questions as to investigate, sort of sleuthing around, trying to find out where the germ started, who got it first, and where it began. That way we can reduce the effects of these preventable diseases. Did the child receive immunizations? Many times, families don't immunize their children. That's their decision. However, it has consequences, and measles and mumps can be one of those primary consequences. They are not normal childhood diseases. They can make you very sick. So what I do is call people, ask them for some questions in a non-intrusive way, and ask so that I can help prevent a continuation of that type of infection or that type of food poisoning. And it can take anywhere between 15, 20 minutes to 3 hours because you play phone tag many times trying to contact someone because they're not home. And sometimes our office is closed when they're home, so you leave voice messages. And it's an interesting experience, and it's sort of like being an investigator or playing Columbo, if you're old enough to remember who he is. And it's part of my job that I really enjoy.
I find investigations as well very fascinating because you do have to sleuth out where this began and who were the contacts, especially when we do foodborne illnesses. And we have to kind of figure out where the person ate and how that meal that they had impacted on them at one particular time. And it really sometimes you can go back right out to places where people traveled on planes and where they were prior to getting sick. And it really takes a detective's hat to figure that out. And then we send that information back to our partners in epidemiology, and they determine if there's an outbreak that they should look at a little bit more. And I enjoy that part a great deal. Some of the other services that we provide are being the safety net for our population, and that's a term that public health has a great deal of pride in. Can you explain from your perspective what that means, being a safety net means from your public health perspective, and how you serve as a safety net for your patients? JD, what is it like? How do you provide your safety net?
Well, as a public health nurse itinerant, I do travel to outlying communities, and I work with a lot of other community providers. I started out in the days when there was not a lot of access. There were not a lot of providers, and we now have improved access, which is good, but there are some people still who do not have the paperwork to qualify or don't know how to get what they need, and I do a lot of that. There are transportation issues in distances that people close in don't have as much to worry about. So I try to help arrange things like that for people specific to their geographic needs. And just provide what kind of like a navigator for a lot of people, because there is improved access, and that's a good thing that it's now in the smaller communities. And we try to have people get to their medical homes so that they can not just have preventive care but also acute care covered. Mm.
This is Pat again. One of the things I want people to realize is that our services are provided at no cost if you can't afford it. It's on a sliding scale all the way to zero. It depends on your annual income and the number of people in your family. But we don't refuse services that we have available just because you can't afford or you don't think you can pay for it. And that is a big safety net in today's world. We can't provide all the services you need. We're not primary doctors, but we can help you find someone or help you hook up with the Medicaid or help you hook up with the Affordable Care Act resources. And that's one of our biggest jobs, is to educate and promote good health. Most of us know that we're overweight when we're overweight, but we also know that we can do something about it. And that's one of the most important things, is to prevent illness, to protect you from illness such as the beaver fever, Giardia. We hear people that get that illness. And so as a safety net, we're sort of an answer or a resource to help you find an answer to your question.
And people, in my experience, certainly are very, very grateful when they find an answer to a problem that they had. And as a result, they do call us back and come back and visit many times. And lots of times we do provide a provider list to patients who, because we want to, as JD said, hook them up to a medical provider, because research demonstrates that people are healthier when they are connected to a regular provider. But lots of times patients come back to us because they like us. And one of the philosophies that Pat touched on was we never turn away anyone due to an inability to pay is a sense of pride among public health nurses. So don't be afraid of that. We also talked a little bit about providing education beyond the health center and beyond just going to the communities. How do you each bring some of your education when you go out to communities and provide information that you want to share, as in health fairs, et cetera? How do you do that, Pat?
Well, in the recent past, I participated in several health fairs where my one job was to put gooey stuff on kids' hands, have a black light, let them look at it and see this is what germs look like, and send them off to a restroom to wash their hands, and their parents too, and have them come back and see how well they washed their hands and got rid of those fake germs. Now, I've had kids think I was putting real germs on their hands, and I had to clarify that, no, these are just fake germs. But you'd be surprised how dirty your hands are even after you've washed them. And I have even participated, and I have to say, I'm not the best hand washer around without a scrub brush. But that's part of the education, is to let people know that it involves everyone.
I certainly brought that to health fairs myself. And even with adults, people do not wash their hands, which is the simplest way to prevent the spread of diseases, to thoroughly wash your hands. And we always give them the birthday song to sing, that you have to wash your hands for at least one course of happy birthday in order to at least get your hands cleaned. And I brought that black light into the high school tech in the culinary arts class to demonstrate, because they're very conscious about hand washing, and to demonstrate how easy it is to miss some germs, as you said, around your fingernails and between your fingers. And it's always fascinating. And the older the individual is who does that, the more astounded they are at how they do not thoroughly clean their hands enough. How about you, JD? I know you do a lot of education out in the community, many times on your own Saturdays. What do you bring out there?
Well, it's a variety of ways. We can work with community provider groups that survey the community and try to guide resources to meet the needs that the people have identified. Sometimes I work with the school nurses for educating the kids at all different age levels, which is always fun. I visit food pantries and offer education and services there. Try to gear it to each community. Every community is different, and so that's a continual challenge to try to bring what people need and desire. And it's just a lot of fun because a lot of our work involves all different walks in the community and all the different hats that people wear, and it's just a continually changing. Information's continually updating due to studies. It's getting better. But we can offer education to people for things like opioid addiction prevention, reduction of harm, and when we get it, bring it to the outlying communities as they need.
And each of those communities are very different from one another, so you have to really kind of punt wherever you're going to make sure that what you bring is what they need, because there's no sense in bringing information that is not needed.
Right. This is Pat again. JD, you mentioned that you work with the Willow, the WHO, W-H-O, which is not the World Health Organization. But tell me a little bit about what the Willow program is.
Well, the Willow Health Organization is a group that works to provide services in their area, such as the farmers market, and for a number of years sponsored the community health fair. And there are groups like that all over the state. The people are very reliable, resilient, and imaginative, and do a lot with kind of few resources, and it's always inspiring.
And we also work very closely with our school nurses. We didn't mention them, and they're really our closest counterparts in the nursing specialty. And we certainly go into the schools and do their health fairs and in the spring when they have them, and offer information and resources as needed. So we're very close. We also do some preparedness work, and I don't think we touched on that. We do flu pods out there. We work with preparedness in case there is a natural or man-made disaster. And so public health nursing, we're always practicing that so that we can be ready in case the state needs us to be on hand to do that. And I just want to remind you that we're talking with J.D. Pross and Pat Hogan, public health nurses from Massachusetts Public Health Center, in our inaugural Your Public Health segment. And as we come to a close, I want to make a point that public health nursing is a specialized branch of nursing where the patient is not necessarily just the individual, but it is the community who we care for. It requires public health nurses to exhibit autonomy and critical thinking as experienced professionals working within very diverse medical directives that are established by our medical chief, Dr. Butler, and also with the nursing policies and procedures from senior nursing leadership, and be aware of what our scope of practice is as nurses, because in our health center, we don't have physicians. We work within these parameters. Given these parameters, what advice do each of you have to new nursing professionals thinking about public health as a specialty area that they are interested in pursuing?
Well, this is Pat again. It's a profession that requires a broad-based background. Most of us who have been public health nurses for the last 10 years have had a variety of other experiences. Although we have hired new people that are immediate graduates, it's really hard to know how to address each individual issue when you really have a limited scope or background in nursing. So it's really a better idea of having gone and worked in the hospital, gotten experience working with families and patients, knowing how to respect an individual and know that you don't have all the answers and that you're working in concert with the patient or the family. Because we work with families and we also work with the community. We have to we get our money from the state legislature, and that is in itself a special job.
Yes, understanding how all those parts go together in order to for us to bring services together. And I would certainly echo that. I think it's important that nurses who want to go to public health as a specialty area have some tools in their toolboxes, because as what I always would impart on nursing students is the patients never respond the way they do in a textbook, and that's what makes our job so interesting. How about you, J.D.? What advice would you give to a new professional thinking about public health nursing?
Well, I would think that if you are seeking autonomy, it's a really great specialty. And because we work with individuals, communities, and systems, you can really focus in any of those areas and make something happen with your community. Excuse me. And it's also a chance for upstream prevention and to really have an impact in that lasts for generations. It isn't something that you can measure in a week or you know, a few months. Some things you do and you can see the result, but you have to work every day knowing that for maybe the kids and the children of the kids you're seeing or the adults, that they are going to have a safer, maybe happier life because you were working upstream to prevent things. And prevention is just a special area that we all appreciate and many of us take for granted. But at the root of it, somebody's doing the work and bringing it to people. If you like a challenge, if you like to meet people from all different walks of life, because our work is so varied, we don't do the same thing every day. And although it is not emergent, it is always interesting and inspiring. And I learn so much from my patients and my communities every day. It doesn't get old.
No, I would certainly agree with that wholeheartedly. I would say it is really boring, and it challenges critical thinking to appreciate the patient and the communities, because we have to look at our patient who is the community through a different nursing lens. And it's broad and comprehensive. So you really have to appreciate the patient where they are from the perspective that you receive them and then go from there. And, yes, public health nurses have to be patient, and we're creative.
And flexible.
Yes, most definitely, because nothing goes easily. And so part of our practices, and some I mentioned, and they're worth mentioning again, we work with our K-12 schools, post-secondary institutions, civic organizations, Department of Correction, and we see our patients sometimes one patient at a time at our public health center in Palmer, Wasilla Highway on in the Garrett building, right across the road from the bowling alley. Mostly if people say, where are you? And I say, we're right across the road from the bowling alley. Everybody knows where we are. We're open from Monday to Friday from 8 to 6, except on Wednesday when we're open 8 to 5. And our number is 352-6600. So we hope you call and make an appointment if you need to see us and avail yourself of our services. And I would like to say in closing that I would like to thank my colleagues, J.D. Pross, itinerant nurse, and Pat Hogan, generalist at Mattsu Public Health Services. This is Dr. Deb Gaidarsh reminding you that public health works the best when we work together. Thank you. Until next time, be well.